Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to use the passage here, basically verses 7 through 18. We're going to use those as really our text for the theme this morning, which is embracing adversity. Embracing adversity. Father, I just pray now that you'll Lord, I ask you to give me some clarity this morning in my thoughts. Lord, you know the struggles I've been having the last couple of days. God, I just pray that you would give me clarity. Help me settle my mind and even my body this morning, and just to hear from you and to speak what it is you prepared me. Give me clarity in thought, clarity in speech. And I pray you'll use this. Lord, I so desire to clearly communicate your word. And this is a topic that every person in this room is touched by adversity at some time or another. If they haven't, they will be, Lord. And I just pray that you'll help me communicate things that from the word of God that are going to help us to draw closer to you. So Lord, bless us now and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Embracing adversity. Now, I've been working on this for a few weeks. And then yesterday, we came down to Oviedo. We attended a youth football game. We got to see the first half of a youth football game. One of the boys in the church, he's been playing for a couple of years. He's asked me several times to come. And every time I tried, something happened, I couldn't make it. So we went down yesterday for the game. And got to see it was 12-6 at halftime. We had to leave. It was kind of hot. The game was a little boring. You know, 12-year-olds playing, and then it ended like 38-33. So the second half just went crazy. We missed the best part of the game. We missed it. But as we were riding down, I was listening to Sports Talk Radio. I was listening on there, and they were interviewing a guy from UCF that played for them 10-15 years ago or something. He was talking about adversity. And, you know, that's a common theme in sports, adversity. That's not unusual to talk about adversity, overcoming adversity. How do you handle adversity? And it's interesting when you look at it in the spectrum of sports and guys and gals that go through adversity in their lives, in their sport, when they come through it, inevitably, they go, man, this is amazing because I'm this kind of person now for having gone through that adversity. And I thought, man, how is it that the world out there in different realms get it, they see it, they understand it, and they really do what the topic of this morning, embracing adversity. And yet we as believers sometimes, we absolutely miss the boat on that. We might embrace it in our sports, in our work, different things like that, but sometimes we feel like we as believers, we shouldn't have to go through certain things. We shouldn't have to experience certain things. Or why am I going through certain things? Instead of doing what we're going to talk about this morning in learning to embrace adversity. And that idea is, man, just grab a hold to it. Don't avoid it. Don't shun it. Don't run from it. Don't complain about it. Don't whine about it. But embrace it. It's here, and we're going to look at why it's here. So the word adversity, it means a state or instance of serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. Anybody ever had adversity? Let me see a hand if you've ever faced adversity. Let me read the definition again. Because apparently some of you didn't hear my definition. A state or instance of serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. Now let me ask again. Has anybody in here ever faced adversity? Yes, Mark, there you go. Mark and Chris is back there waving both hands. I could go on forward, throw everything up because the fact is we've all faced adversity. If you haven't, you're going to, right? You may be in it right now. You may have just come out of it, but you're going to go back into it at some point. It's part of this life. So what is adversity? When we think about that, it could be sufferings, worries, trouble, trials, burdens, pains, danger, hardships, hard times. All of these are ideas, things that are adversity. They come in a lot of different forms. It could be health. It could be financial. It could be job situation. It could be relational. It could be as simple as a flat tire or as complicated as someone T-bombs you. There are lots of adversity things that we face. So we face these. These adversities. And sometimes we feel like, man, I'm in this horrible situation, and what we don't think about is that good can come from it. We miss that, and we as Christians ought to embrace, we ought to understand that good comes from these bad situations. Not only can it come, but it will come. It does come. God's going to use it. Now, if it doesn't help in my life, it's because I've resisted what he's trying to do in my life. But he's at work in that. And so there's an example I heard about a guy over in the Tampa area not too awful long ago. This guy is a garbage man. I don't have any problem with that. Look, man's got his job. He's working his job. It may not be the job he wanted. It's certainly not the job I want, right? But man's working, and he's going, man, this is a tough job. I don't know what his situation might be, but he's a garbage man. And so it's, you know, I'm not where I want to be, man. What's going to come out of this? How can I get back? I can like it better. All that kind of stuff that he's in that situation. But here's what's interesting. He found something in the garbage this one day, and it was a little pill-off game. You know, like many of these McDonald's do a pill-off game. So he does this little pill-off, and he won like a free cheeseburger. He won a free cheeseburger. Man, all right. So he put it in his pocket, and I'm using a free cheeseburger. A couple of weeks later, he's collecting, and he sees this cup. It's a Wendy's cup. Wendy's is doing this game, this pill-off win stuff. And he sees this, and he goes, yeah, you know, one last week, I'll try again. So he picks this cup out of the garbage, and he peels off, and guess what the guy wins? He wins $200,000. I'll go collect trash. I'm going to find $200,000, right? I'll be glad to do that. So, you know, good things can come from bad situations. And so that's kind of the idea here. So let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 7 through 18. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And that really right there is kind of a thesis of this whole thing we're going to talk about, because it all points to the power of God in our life. It's not our own power. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us to you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, if you have your notes, we're going to run through this outline. I think we're going to actually move pretty quickly this morning. But number one is this: adversity. Adversity is coming. adversity is coming. We see there in verse 8 and 9, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side. That's where they're at. That's where Paul is writing. They are hard-pressed. They're in adversity. He says, we are perplexed, persecuted, struck down. They are in adversity. These are the things that are going on. And if you read Paul's writings, you see that Paul, all through his ministry, faced adversity. He was either coming out of adversity, he was in the midst of adversity, or as we would see and know, because we look back and can see it, we should know he would come into more adversity. That was Paul's life. And Paul's writing this. And so what I say is, you know, adversity is coming. Buckle up. You've either been through it, you're currently in it, or it's heading your way. Just know, be ready, because adversity is coming. And if you know something's coming, you ought to be prepared for it. And that's the idea this morning, is that we be prepared for the adversity that is inevitably going to come to our lives. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. This is what Jesus says. I want you to have peace in me. I've spoken these things to you that you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. That's a very comforting word from our Lord there, isn't it? He doesn't say you might have some tribulation. You know what? Some of you will face tribulation, because then we're going, maybe it's not me. Maybe I'll miss it. No, what he says is, in this world you will have tribulation. So we know it's coming. Now again, what is tribulation? Well, it's pressure, literally or figuratively. It's pressure. It's to be afflicted or have affliction. It's anguish. It's to be burdened, to have persecution. Tribulation, trouble. Again, it's this idea of problems in our lives, things that we're going to face. Acts 14, 22, strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Understand this, believer, you're going to face tribulation. You're going to face problems. You're going to face adversity in this life. It's coming. Now, some are our own fault. Amen? Now, people, we like to blame a lot of things on other people, other stuff like that. But listen, a lot of the tribulation, a lot of the trouble, the problems we have in life, for our own fault. So I would say it this way: do stupid things, win stupid prizes. Right? If you're going to do something stupid and then something happens, don't blame anybody else. If you're wearing a cast, there's a reason you're wearing a cast, and you can look in the mirror and you can see that reason. Now, how do you know? In the South, we're not really in the South here, right? Y'all realize we go further south by driving further north here, right? So as you get to like the Georgia-Florida line, that's about as far south as you can go, then you start going north again. That's just a reality. But in the South, in Georgia, here's how we could tell if one of these situations was about to come up, if somebody was about to do something crazy. We'd hear this. We'd hear, hey, y'all, watch this. And if you hear that, here's what you should do. You should get your phone out and put the video on and just be ready, because something dumb's about to happen. Hey, y'all, watch this. We do dumb things. And we do dumb things. We do dumb things. A lot of times we win those dumb prizes. And so we bring problems on ourselves sometimes. Sometimes it is others' faults. It's someone runs a red light because they're not paying attention. Someone rear ends you, they're not paying attention. Others cause problems. Sometimes it's accidental. Sometimes it's malicious. But others will bring adversity in our lives. So that's the reality. Some is just simply the result of living in a fallen world. There are things that are a part of living in this fallen world. It's just a part of life. It's a fact of life. The fact is, we're in the fallen world. We're going to get sick. We're going to, at some point, you know what? Every one of us in this room, if the Lord tarries his return, every person in this room is going to die. Don't realize that, right? I hope I have sprung something on you and shocked you this morning, because every one of us is going to die. And we think this person, they're heading that way. We may be gone before they are. I may be gone before this message is over. But it's a part of this life that our body is dying. The result of the fall is the physical body is dying. There's disease, there's sickness, but our bodies just fail. They're not designed anymore because of sin. Everything that God designed has been corrupted, and we're going to die. Some of the persecutions and tribulations we have is satanic oppression. Satan's work in our life. Satan and his minions working to work against us. There's things that we face there. And some of it is God's hand of correction. As a child of God, when we get out of order, we get out of place, we get into sin, whatever it may be, we're going in the wrong direction, God's corrective hand will be there. He'll bring conviction. If we don't listen and respond, he'll bring correction. He'll bring that chastisement from him, and we're thankful for that. But I'll tell you this, regardless of where the tribulation comes from, all of it will be used by God to do his work in our lives. All tribulation is an opportunity for us to grow in our faith. When we face that, James tells us this very clearly in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That sounds counterintuitive. Count it joy. Count it joy when we fall into trials. Absolutely, we should count it joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God uses the situations we face. Look, if we went around the room and I asked you to talk about a time in your life when you grew the most as a Christian, was it during, man, you know, I grew the most when it was, man, I had all the money, I had the greatest job, I spent this weekend at this retreat, and the greatest speakers were there, man, I just grew so much. Or would it be a time where you go, man, it was the hardest 6 months of my life. I can't even explain to you, I was going through this, and this, and this, and this, and yet the Lord was just faithful. He was there with me, he was walking with me through it, he was teaching me stuff, all of those kind of things. Can I tell you, there's been some spiritual moments in my life that were great. Can I tell you, the last year and a half was probably one of the best periods of my life for teaching me. God had taught me so much in the last year and three quarters. Some of you, I've talked a lot about this issue with my neck, and didn't know it until just a few months ago, that I had a vertebrae that was out of alignment, and all of the brain fog, all of the dizziness, all of those symptoms, all the things that were bothering me, the brain fog being the worst, like having a 30 belt for 35 hours, and got a 12-hour jet lag. That's the way I felt all the time with my brain. Pressure in my head, and just thought, what is going on? I told Dean, I would check all these different things. I've got to go maybe get an MRI. So the only thing I'm thinking now is maybe I've got a brain tumor. We've got something going on, but we've got to get some help. Didn't realize how bad it was until it was neck corrected, and it cleared all that up. Now, I still have, like yesterday, just kind of dizzy yesterday, a little struggle with some of the brain fog. So it's in and out. But I learned so much in that time. That's the way it works. We learn more through adversity than we learn through when things are super great, super easy. It's always when we're having to push against something that we grow. Weight training. You grow through pumping the weight. You use the weight resistance to grow stronger. It's the same way in life when we push through these things. And so it is through adversity. It's through these trials and these tribulations that God works in that, and He grows us. And it says that you may be perfect. That doesn't mean perfect and sinless. It means mature. If we're going to grow as a believer, then we go through these trials, we go through these things, and we allow God to use them in our life. So number one, adversity is coming. Number two, adversity is coming, but defeat is not. Defeat is not. John 16:33 again. These things I've written to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the tribulation comes from this world. The Lord has overcome the world, and we have Him. He's on our side. He's for us. He's working in our hearts and our lives. He's using these things. So it says, look, be of good cheer. When you face these things, it's coming. But be of good cheer. I've overcome all the world. You know, you're not going to be defeated in this. Look at verse 8 and 9, what Paul says here. We are hard-pressed on every side. Tribulation, yet not crushed. We're perplexed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Isn't that great? Man, we're being persecuted. We got pressure on us. We got this persecution from outside that's coming on us. But we're not forsaken. Faith forsaken, this idea of God turning His back on us and walking away. God never does that. He's with us. We're struck down, but not destroyed. See, we're not defeated. Adversity is coming, but defeat doesn't have to come. We can have victory, and we do have victory in Christ Jesus. Number three, adversity reveals Jesus in us. In us. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I kind of alluded to this earlier, but Christians, we sometimes think that because I'm a believer, I shouldn't go through problems. That's the false teaching of the prosperity gospel today. That if you have enough faith, then you don't have to go through those things. If you have enough faith, you won't get sick. If you have enough faith, you'll be healed of your sickness. If you have enough faith, you'll have more money. If you have enough faith, they don't have to have faith. They got people snowed and send them thousands of dollars at a chunk to get a blessing. I'm like, how about you send me the money and you can have a blessing? That's what I tell those guys. But Christians have to understand that we're not exempt from suffering. Jesus suffered. And because Jesus suffered, we're going to face that. We face that in our body. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That the life of Jesus may be manifest, may be seen. Well, I'm getting a little bit ahead right here. But His glory and power is what's there. It's manifest. What He does in us is manifest. There's this idea of, Larry 11 and 12. It's not about my strength, it's about His strength. And when we go through trials, you know, I heard this said, God will never put more on you than you can handle. No, it's not true. It's not scriptural. He puts more on us all the time than we can handle. Because if I can handle it, who do I not need? Who do I not need? I don't need anybody, right? I don't need God. We tend to turn to God when we get to the end of our own road. Well, you know, when I can still do it in my strength, I don't need the Lord. But when my strength runs out, and so all the time there's more on me than I can handle. Without the Lord's grace in my life, without His work in my life, how can I get through this? So He does allow more to come on us than we can handle. Because it ain't about me handling it, it's about Him handling it. So His power and His grace, it is manifest in our bodies as we live out our faith. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. We want Jesus to be seen in us. Amen? So the life of Jesus is manifested. That word means to be revealed or be shown or to be made public, to be seen. And it is seen in our mortal bodies. The way you deal with adversity, the way you deal with tribulations, with trials, with problems, the way that you as a believer handle that, you manifest Christ to this lost and dying world. They get to see Jesus in you. Fred Williams right now, if you talk to Fred, it blows my mind, the faith of that man. Ms. Jeannie Best and Dennis, when Dennis was battling his cancer and fighting, he just praised God every step of the way. They just trusted Him. And so what do you see in that? You see Jesus. You see Him glorified. You see Him honored. You see Him lifted up because you see people who trust Him. And their strength is not in themselves. It's in God Almighty. It's an incredible thing. What's inside is not revealed until it's squeezed, right? You ever wash your car? You get the buck out there. And when you first start out and you take the sponge and you get in there and you bring it up out of the water and you squeeze it, what comes out? Soapy water. What color is the water? Clear, right? It's clear. The suds are white. You get about halfway through the car and you start doing that. What color is the water? It's dirty. So when you bring that sponge out, the sponge might look the same until you squeeze it. You squeeze that sponge, what's coming out? Either the clear or the nasty, the ugly. But it's when it's squeezed that what's inside is revealed. I think Forrest Gump, the great theologian Forrest Gump, said it this way. It was actually his mother with the great theologian. She said, life is like a box of chocolates. What'd she say? You never know what you're going to get. Right? You don't know. Until you bite into it, you don't know. If you've ever tried one of those equipment samplers, If you lose that, unfortunately, they painted it on the inside of it because people lost the little sheet. I guess it used to be. I remember it seemed like it used to be a little sheet game with it and had them identified. So you'd know which ones you like. If you lose that, you play in a guessing game. I really don't like. There's a couple of them I really don't like. But you don't know until you bite into it, right? So you don't know until you bite in. You don't know until it squeezes. What's inside? Folks, when we as believers, when the Lord allows something in our life to squeeze us, what's coming out? What's coming out? If you're walking with God, it's going to come out. If you're not walking with God, it's going to come out. You're going to testify one way or another. Your life is going to be a witness to those around you. What's your life going to witness to? Is it going to witness to Christ in you or not? And that's what these adversities, these trials, these problems, these things reveal. They reveal Christ in us. Number four, adversity brings glory to God. Adversity brings glory to God. Going back again to verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, when the things that God is doing in our life, he gets the glory because it's his power that's getting us through these situations. It's his power that's bringing us safely through. It's his power that's giving us strength to get up the next day. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. It's all about God's glory. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Folks, we realize this, right? We understand every day, if you, unless you're really young, some of these younger folks, Christian, y'all ain't figured it out yet. Y'all are young. Y'all ain't figured it out yet. Some of that's a little more my age. We're still young, but just we're young relative, right? I can remember I was 35, 40 years old, and I talk about getting older. And half the room, they go, oh, it's so bad being 40. Oh, man, I blinked the other day, and I realized I'm 57, almost 60. Some in the room go, we'll be 57 again. But a lot of you, I'm finding more and more I get in rooms, and I'm the oldest person in the room. It's more and more often that's happening. But I'm realizing that his body's breaking down. I like to run. I'll go out, and I can walk forever, but I'll go out and jog. The next day, I'm going to feel it right here. My back's going to spasm. I'm going to have a little trouble. So I'm trying to, my body's saying, hey, dumb. You do dumb things, you win no prizes. Maybe you should stick to walking. My thumbs. I don't have arthritis. I've had them checked. I don't know what's going on, but right there, both thumbs, killing me. To a point where even my grip strength, so I've got a weeder your head that I took apart because, I did the wrong thing. All I had to do was feed it through, put a new line in there, but I break it apart, bring it apart, and then I got to feel it. Then I realize I shouldn't have broke it apart, but it's just a twist. I can't get it twisted back. So, son, I need your help, all right? The old man is finally breaking down, so we're going to see if it's the weed in your head or if it's me. We're going to find out because I'm going to get Jesse to come over. But I'm working on that. I'm finding, man, I cannot grip that thing tight enough to get the head twisted and locked back on there. I wanted to throw that thing through the wall. I was afraid I'd throw my shoulder out, so I didn't. But don't we got a spider on me up here. Don't you understand that? That's what we're facing. This body is aging. This body is breaking down. This outward self, our flesh, our body, the physical life, it's wasting away. It's dying. And one day we will die. Unless the Lord blows the trumpet and calls us home, and that's what I'm hoping for. I want to go with the undertaker, not the undertaker. But either way, I'm going to go be with the Lord. But our outward body, this flesh, it is dying. But the inward self, listen, the scripture says it was being renewed day by day. Being renewed day by day. What's that word renewed mean? It really means this. It means to renovate. We're being renovated. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the same word. It's the same thought. By the renovation of your mind. How are we renewed? It's not about my body. I can read scripture. I can pray. I can do that. My thumbs aren't going to get any better. They're not going to get any better. Whatever's going on, it's until I figure it out or do something, they're just going to keep getting worse. But the inward person, my spirit, my soul, my spirit can grow. It's being changed. And where am I going to be like Jesus? In this body or in my spirit? So I'm going to be like Jesus. There's a renovation going on. And that's what's happening. See, adversity brings glory to God. And as I am being changed to be more like him, it's going to continue to bring more and more glory to God. Number 5. Adversity prepares us for eternity. Really kind of goes in line with what we were just read. Verse 17, for our light affliction. You ever been in anything and thought, man, this is horrible? And you read that and you go, light affliction? I mean, that's what Paul is calling what I'm going through right now, light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That light, I go, well, maybe light, what does that mean? Well, it means light. It means easy. The scriptures call the things that we go through in life, the struggles we face in life. What Paul was saying there, when Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, you know what, that's a light affliction. We are perplexed, that's a light affliction. We're persecuted. We're being persecuted for our faith. We're being beaten and thrown into prison. We're persecuted, light affliction. We're being struck down, light affliction. It's easy. And affliction, well, maybe that means something different. No, it means affliction. It means to be afflicted. It means anguish, burdened, persecution, tribulation, trouble. Now, Paul doesn't say that it doesn't exist. But what he's saying is the worst that we go through in this life is a light affliction. It really is. Which is for a moment. Which is but for a moment. It means it's not going to last forever. And it's, I think if we consider our affliction compared to what Christ did for us, it's a light affliction. Have you ever just sit down and think about, you ever had a little pity party? You ever get a little woe is me going on? This is terrible. What I'm going through right now is just terrible. This is hard. We do that. I think where I was. It might have been the service we had out in the field last week, but a young man was out there, and he had to be pushed on a wheelchair. And his legs, obviously, with atrophy and small, so he was paralyzed from his waist down, obviously, at that point. And I just remember thinking, wow, all it takes is a quick look around and realize there's somebody that's had it worse than I did. My thumbs hurt. But praise God, I've got thumbs. My hands give me trouble at times, but I can still use my hands. People don't have hands. This is a light affliction, and when we consider what Christ did for us, any affliction that we go through is a light affliction. It's not just that he hung on the cross, dying the worst death of the day. It's not just the physical part of that. It's the fact that he left the glory of heaven. He left the presence of the Father, that he'd always been in the presence of the Father. It was becoming a part of us. It became part of his own creation. And if you could create some life, You wanted to communicate with him, and you could become part of that creation. That's the idea here, is that he became. We are his creation. He became one of us. He became like us. He became not just like us, but he became one of us. He became part of his own creation. And then he's sinless in that, and yet he bears our sin. Everything we've ever done. He bears our sin on the cross. It's the, you know, it's not just those things, but it's the turning away of the Father. When the Father had to turn away because of the sin that was on Christ. It's the reproach and shame of becoming sin for us, and the reproach and shame of hanging on a cross. All these things that Christ did for us, he did for us. He didn't have to do it. He did it for us. And if we consider that, our affliction, regardless of the affliction, is a light affliction. And it's only for a moment. And soon shall pass. I shared with y'all in the message, I think the message about Charlie Kirk that Sunday, how two of his favorite passages we're going to talk about right here. But he said one of them was not a passage, it was Aristotle or somebody said, this too shall pass. And Charlie said it was one of his favorite things to remember because no matter how good things are in life, keep you humble because this too shall pass. At the pinnacle of everything being so great, it's not going to last. This too shall pass. But he said no matter how bad things get, this too shall pass. It's a great encouragement for us. No matter what you're going through in life, and at the point where Dina's back was so bad, we wondered, is she ever going to be able to just walk without pain? Is she going to, I mean, I could touch the brakes in the car and she would be over there. She would be, I could hear her. I'm like, I didn't get on it hard, you know, but she, that was the pain that she was having. I thought, will she ever be normal again? Is this going to, you know what? This too shall pass. And she, praise God, she's gotten through that. Romans 8:28, for nearly all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God is using these things. He's using these things in our life. They're all temporal. You know, my life, let's say my dad lived to be 79 years old. If I lived to be 79 years old, that seems like a long time. But let's think about that in perspective with eternity. It's but for a moment. This life, though, the things we get through may seem like, man, this is a long time. It is quick. It is quick. It is but for a moment. And no matter how bad it is, this too shall pass. And God is working these things for his good. Things not seen. The things not seen. But the things which are seen are temporary. That's us. That's what we see. Look around. Everything we see here is temporary. But the things which are not seen, those are the eternal things. In verse 14 again, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us to you. Understand this. Our goal is not just heaven. That's not even God's goal for us. It's not just to get us to heaven. If that was the case, you get saved, you make a profession, you're born again, boom, you just zip you out of here, we're done. What is our life? It's about sanctification, right? And what is that sanctification? It is us being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our goal is not heaven. God's plan is not just heaven. It's to be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to be like him. Titus 2:13, we talk about blessed hope. We talk about that being the Lord's return, but it's more than that. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Look, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. What does he want to do? He wants to make us like him. He wants us to be like Jesus. That is what he's doing. He's trying to conform us into the image of his Son, Jesus. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. Those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. What's God doing in our lives? He's trying to conform us to the image of his Son. When the things in our lives, should we lay aside the weights and sins that so easily ensnare us and hinder us from good? Because it hinders us from being conformed to the image of his Son. Why should we forgive people that do wrong against us? Because when we're bitter and we're unforgiving, we're not being conformed to the image of his Son. Why should we stop doing this? Because it keeps me from being conformed to the image of his Son. Why should I start doing that? Because it helps me be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God's doing in our life. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so this is what God is doing in our life, and he's using everything that happens. He's using it for that purpose. Now, to wrap this up, here's what I'm challenging you with. If we're going to embrace adversity, if we're going to embrace the difficulties in our life, here's what we got to do. You got to develop a fake positive attitude. You ever heard that? If you've heard it, you might have heard it from me. It's a phrase I've used from time to time. You can have a positive attitude. That may be just humanistic. But you got to have a faith positive attitude. And it means my positive attitude comes because of my faith. It's from trusting in the Lord. So let's look at this. Understanding all this, that we, the born-again children of God, should be the most resilient people in the entire world. We should be more resilient than any athlete, any other faith out there, any other religion. We, as a born-again children of God, are the most resilient of people. And what does that mean, preacher? What is resilience? Well, resilience is the ability to adapt to adversity and stress by bouncing back from adversity. Let me read that again. Resilience is the ability to adapt to adversity and stress by bouncing back from adversity. With the Spirit of God's help, we can develop proper behaviors, thoughts, and actions that help us to be resilient, that help us to have a faith-positive attitude. So what are some ways to do that? Number one is just trust God. James 2:3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that. When I know that what he's doing, it produces patience. It is taking me toward maturity, and I just trust God. I'm going to trust him in that. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you trust that he cares for you? If he cares for us, and we believe that, then we can trust him. Right? Then I can, in whatever the situation is, I can trust God in that situation. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then regardless of what we face in life, we can trust him. If we love him and we believe him and we know the truth of what he says, he'll never leave us. We can cast our care on him because he cares for us. We know that he's working through the things in our life to make us like his Son Jesus. So if I trust God, I don't worry. I said this, I don't know if I said it last week or Wednesday week ago. I said this at some point. We worry Here's when we worry. We worry when we're afraid that we won't get from God what we want, or that he won't do what it is we want him to do. That's when we worry. Well, I'm praying about it, preacher. You're praying about it, but you want this outcome. And you're worried and you're stressed and you're anxious because this is the outcome you want. And you're afraid you're not going to get it. Because if I truly trust God, I say, Lord, this is what I would like to see you do. Lord, I trust you, and I give it to you. No matter if I give it to him or not, he's going to work his plan. This is what's going on here with me, right? This is what's going on here. Do I trust you? Lord, this is what I'd like to see happen, but your will be done, not mine. And Lord, whatever you do, I'm going to trust you in that. And if I'm going to trust you, that means I receive whatever it is he does. And I don't question it. I don't get mad about it. I don't go, God, where were you? You could have done this. But that says you could have done what I wanted you to do. Why didn't you do what I wanted to do? That's where worry comes from. That's where the anxiety comes from, because I don't really trust him. And the trust again goes back to wanting what I want. But when I trust him, then I trust him with the outcome. I trust him with the results. Whatever comes, Lord, this is what I like to see. I don't want to hear the C word. But if the C word's there, then I know that's just part of your plan. You've allowed it. Now, what do you want to teach me now? What do I need to learn, Lord? What do we need to do? Who do I need to witness to? How do I need to glorify you through this? Well, we trust God. Another way we do this is through regulating our emotions. Well, again, we talk about trust and worry and stuff. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. That's a command. Be nervous, be anxious, be worrisome, be stressed about nothing. But in some things, but in a few things, but in a lot of things, but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's being free of anxiety. That's being free of stress. Dwell on the right things. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Quit thinking about the wrong things, think about the right things. Focus on the right things. So we regulate our emotions that way. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, not my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We shouldn't. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in anxiety and stress. We can really give it to the Lord. And then we can't control things, right? We can't control the things that happen in life. But what I can control is what I dwell on, what I think about, how I handle those situations. I can control my thinking and my emotions. So we don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to worry. Nor should we live in fear and anxiety and stress. We don't have to be there. I'm going to ask the team if I want to come forward. I have two more points and we'll be done. The other thing we can do is build strong spiritual connections. And where do we do that? How do we do that? Through church attendance and fellowship with other believers. And if you're a believer and you're out on an island by yourself, it's like the antelope out in the jungle. Eventually, if you're out by yourself, you're the one the lion's going to attack. You're the one the lion's going to bring down. There's safety in numbers. That's the way to think about this. As we gather together, we go, that sounds like a weakling crutch. Okay, then I'm a weakling, and I need a crutch because I need you guys. I need you. I need the fellowship that we have together. I need your encouragement, and I want to be encouraged. I need someone to challenge me when there's something in my walk. I need people to encourage me when I'm down. We get that as we gather together. So we get that through fellowship. It's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And the last thing is, new challenges is opportunities for growth. And again, it's that trust the process. I talked about the process. Trust the process. God is working in your life. He's working through these things. It is a process to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's all for my good and for God's glory. Everything he's doing in my life is to mold and make me, shape me into the image of his son, Jesus. That's my good. It's not necessarily for my good right now in our physical thinking, right? Our temporal thinking, our carnal thinking. Lord, why don't I have a lot of money? Why do I have this bill? Why do I have this problem? No, it's not about that. It's about the eternal. It's about what he shaped us to be and to do with our lives. It's for our good. It's for God's glory. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we're going to talk about this morning about how many problems we've seen in our church. We've seen tragic deaths. We have sickness. We have financial problems. There are emotional problems. There are spiritual challenges. There is sin in the camp. Lord, there are problems all over this congregation, all in this body. We have problems. There's tribulation. There are trials that are facing folks. Lord, this morning, if we will embrace these truths from your word, Lord, you want to do a great work. You are going to do a great work. Now, will we receive it? Will we allow you to do that work in our life? Because, Lord, I want, when there's tribulation in my life, I want people to see you. I don't want some junk in my life. I want to see you. And when I'm squeezed, what comes out is you. That there's glory that is given to you because of what you're doing, the strength you give us, the way you bring us through those difficult times and how we handle it because of you in our life. All of this, Lord, it always points back to you and what you're doing. You're molding us and you're shaping us. You're maturing us. God, I pray that we would have the right attitude. Help us to really embrace adversity and to develop a faith-positive attitude that, Lord, instead of being down and complaining, Lord, we look to you, we trust you, we lean upon you, and we ask God, what is it you're doing now? What do you want me to learn? Help me to learn, Lord. Who do you want me to be a witness to? How do you want me to testify through this? God, use these things in our lives, and may we embrace that. Because, Lord, this is a great part of the work that you do in our lives and through our lives. So help us embrace it. Help us have the right attitude about it. This morning, there may be a need that we have. Lord, as we played and we sing this song in response this morning, maybe this morning we need to just get to the altar and cast our care upon you. Maybe we need to just put something at your feet that we've been carrying around. Maybe we need just to submit a situation in our life that, Lord, we've been wanting you to deal a certain way, and that's not what you want. You want us to just say, Lord, whatever it is, whatever you want to do, Lord, we receive that. We'll trust you in that. God, whatever it is you want us to do, however you want us to respond this morning, there may be someone sitting here that doesn't know you're a Savior. God, I pray this morning would be the day that they would say, yes, Jesus, you gave your life for me. You died for my sin. You died in my place. You took the penalty of my sin, and that's been paid for. And you call me now, repentance and faith, and this morning I realize I'm a sinner separated from you, and I need to be saved. Lord, I pray that there's anyone here this morning who needs to be saved. God, just speak to their heart and let them leave here. That being that right today. God, would you just move now and do it only you can do in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.